welcome to We Knows Parenting, the parenting podcast hosted by real-life parents. I'm Beth Newell.
And I'm Peter McNerney.
We're not experts, but we do have two children. This is the podcast where we compare notes on our week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beth, we've been together sort of more this week, and it's been very exciting.
Yeah, work has calmed down. We're recording in the daytime, which is nice. I feel not like I'm just whispering into a microphone at the end of the day.
I'm going to say something controversial. I love you more in the daytime.
Oh, thank you.
Is that a weird thing to say?
Why is that controversial?
The implication is that I don't love you at other times. I'll take all that back. I love you all the time, but I don't love working with you when we're both tired and we want to go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going to lose listeners on the episodes where we're recording at 9 p.m. and I'm just droning on into the microphone.
No, we're just going to lose my mom, who can tell that we're not enjoying ourselves, and then she won't enjoy herself. And she really hates it when I mention her on the podcast. I love you, Mom.
She can use us as one of her sleep podcasts that she listens to in the middle of the night.
When she loves podcasts to fall asleep to. I think a lot of people do. If you use our podcast to fall asleep, please write in to let us know.
I think it'd be too agitating to hear about parenting while you're trying to fall asleep.
Yeah, it's not the most soothing topic.
Also, recording in the daytime means you stole my coffee cup again.
Yeah, well, mine's right there. They're the same.
Yeah, I had to go fill up yours, which means I think that you are drinking coffee with collagen supplements in it.
Ooh, does that mean I've got good skin now?
It's good for your skin and joints.
Yeah. Well, in my defense, the coffee cup was completely empty, so.
You're still getting a little collagen in there.
I'll take it.
This is a tip I learned from my mom group, which I do everything they say.
Yeah. This podcast really is just what Beth learned from her Facebook mom group this week. This reminds me of the time that I think maybe you tweeted this where I found out that the gummy vitamins that I had been eating from you were like women's supplements, and you were sort of offended that I stopped taking them after that.
Did you eat them?
I had one or two, and you're like, those are women's supplements. And I was like, oh.
I thought it was just that the woman on the label scared you off of them, which I think is
well,
funny.
It does. Women are terrifying.
Well, anyway, vitamins this week, are just for women.
Men,
you're perfect as you are.
Yeah, we don't need anything. Big news this week is perhaps maybe one of the greatest fuck-ups of my parenting career thus far ended up turning out okay. And that was I failed to register. Well, we failed. But I was the one that was like, failed to register Bryn for preschool on time. In fact, yeah, I missed the deadline by 4 months.
I don't think this is universal. We're lucky enough to live in a state that has public pre-K, which mm-hmm. we definitely need and do not want to be paying for private pre-K.
I don't know if it's the whole state, because at least our friends from daycare the town over seemed to think that there was not universal pre-K.
New York City does have it and not everywhere, but our town is lucky enough to have it, which is great. And we should have been much more on top of advantage of that.
In my defense, I just don't know how to read. Last year.
And in my defense, I told you multiple times when you claimed that he wasn't old enough, I said, I think he is old enough. You should go recheck that.
Yeah, you didn't check either. Last year, I went to the website.
You kept insisting that.
I mean, it was dumb. I went to the website and I looked up the information and I absorbed something unexpected. I was like, it starts in January. That's weird. Why isn't it the regular school year? Oh, well.
Anyway, you eventually re-looked into it, realized you were
wrong. The deadline, the submission time period was January through February.
Okay, so we got on the wait list.
And we got into pre-K.
Yay. And we are very, very lucky that our daycare is going to drive him to afternoon pre-K and pick him up.
Yeah. Daycare, the woman who runs daycare, her son is in the same section, is the same age. And so we just take him to daycare and they do the rest. We can go on being wildly successful artists in our industries.
And wildly negligent of our children's day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
I don't know how we would do without that daycare thing.
Yeah.
I guess our kid just wouldn't go to pre-K. which is
whatever. He's smart. He knows all his letters. He knows all his numbers.
Yeah.
But does he know how? He could learn some self-control.
He could definitely use it. The other thing this week I will say about our kids is that they have been funny and on this week, comedically, but they've also been insane and having crazy tantrums.
It's been all passion.
And I think the thing now is that they're like joined at the hip in a certain way where they feed off each other's energy in both good and bad ways.
Oh, yeah.
So they make each other laugh hysterically, and it's great. And I'm glad that they have each other. But it's when they're tantruming, they now decide to like have these co-tantrums where one of them starts up and then finally calms down and then the other one starts up. And it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it's kind of funny because they're both so crazy.
I'd say, I'll take this insanity over younger babies' insanity because it is so truly funny and interesting. Maven has taken the biggest step in this developing personality.
Yeah.
Where she got really loud and aggressive. And she just started yelling the other day. Those were nonsense words, right?
Yeah. Well, what I think is funny is that Bryn is maybe the most stubborn person I've ever met, but Maven
is. Have you met you? Burn!
Maven
is
so sorry. A tantrum innovator. Mm-hmm. And she finds new ways to tantrum, and then she gives Bryn new ideas for how to have his tantrums. So she's like, she's developed this new scream, which is just as high pitched as she can.
Can you turn away from the microphone and give us an example?
And she's just like, I can't even do it. It's so.
I can't do it.
It's such a little girl high-pitched thing, and she just does it over and over.
It's like a punch in the eyeball.
And I think Bryn is trying to do it, and he can't quite hit the register, and you can see he knows it is not quite right, but he's trying to do it because he knows.
It's the worst sound, and they know how powerful it is because they do it, and I stare right at them, and then they stare right back at me.
Yeah, I'm
it's
trying
like
to ignore it.
Showdown at the OK Corral.
You're feeding into it a little bit.
I hate it. It's powerful. I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneeze.
You.
This is the lingeriest sneeze I've ever. Oh, God damn it.
I'll say, we both have strengths and weaknesses as parents. And you're better at putting your foot down when it comes to, like, snacks and things.
Mm-hmm.
But you are more likely to feed into the tantrum fights.
Yeah.
And you build on it sometimes.
I make a real point that if I put my foot down about something, I'm not going to bail on it.
Right.
But what the fault is like when I pick the wrong battle.
You do. And sometimes you decide to put your foot down on things that are just do not need to affect us in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I've just made a full breakfast on a Saturday morning and I want to sit down and enjoy it, and you decide to try to force our children to sit down with us so that I have to eat during a scream fight.
This is something I recently have become really nostalgic of about my family's, like, it's dinner time, no elbows on the table, napkin in your lap. And it's too early to expect that from them, but I want to start putting pieces of that in. Like, you can't leave the table until we're done eating. And the only piece of that I've accomplished is that I know I can't keep Bryn at the table if he wants to leave, but at least he now says, may I be excused? And I'm making Pete McNerney proud.
Incredible.
My dad.
The other Maven tantrum innovation is that I was trying to get her to sit down at the table, and she threw a full glass of milk on the floor.
Yeah.
And she kept trying to do it again, and now Bryn has picked up on that this is a fighting technique that he can try to use.
Well, it's probably 3 days ago they spilled like 3 cups of milk on the rug. And so I was like, no more liquid in the living room. And it was like a real strict rule for like 45 minutes. And then I was like, I can't enforce this.
Impressive.
I have a random correction I want to throw in. I don't know where else in the episode to do it. So last episode or the episode before, I talked about, again, my mom. Sorry, mom. You're a huge part of my life. I'm going to talk about you. That she was a twin and that her parents had 4 kids under, I claimed, 5 years old when they were born. My mom texted me and corrected me. They had 4 children under 2.5 when my mom was born. And then ultimately they had 7 children under 10 years old.
I just want to say this is why we need access to birth control. And you should call your senators about this.
Because look how terrible this turned out for them and for me.
I'm not sure they had any other choice. This was the 50s.
This is not an example. This was intentional. I don't think the twins were.
I'm sure it was fine. I'm just saying
they did take a little break after the twins.
Most women never want that to be a part of their lives ever.
7 children under 10?
Yeah.
That's true. Anyway, mom, the record has been corrected, and I am so much more impressed
I'm incredibly impressed, and I think it's amazing and should be applauded, and I also think that no one should ever have to do that if they don't
want to. Doesn't just explain my mom all the more that she's the exact middle of 7 children. And you have no control of the world around you when there's that much going on. So you go with the flow. Anyway, I promise we'll never talk about you again, Mom, until you're relevant, which you will always be.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? This is a segment where Peter shares a fact about parenting.
This one is really interesting. This is an article I found in the Wall Street Journal. With some surprising results. Headline, kids today are actually more patient than kids 50 years ago. So you have probably heard of the marshmallow test. This is a test to measure kids' level of self-control. And so they'll put a kid in a room and there's 2 plates. And one of them has 1 marshmallow. And the other plate has 2 marshmallows or cookies or whatever.
Right.
And there's a bell in the middle. And they tell this kid, and this is like 3 or 4 year olds, preschool age kids. At any point, the researcher says, I have to leave the room for a second. But if at any point you want to eat the 1 cookie, ring this bell and I'll come in and you can eat that 1 cookie right away. But if you wait until I come back without ringing the bell, I will give you 2 cookies. So they did this study in the 60s with like the 150 to 200 kids around this one university. Then they did it again in the 80s and again more recently with a much bigger pool of kids. And they have found over this 50 years that 3- and 4-year-olds have increased their ability to wait for the thing. So they measured that the second the kid licks or picks up or takes a bite of the thing, that's their time.
There's a really funny like TV video of this, some like news thing where they did this. They videotaped kids doing the marshmallow test, and there's these kids trying so hard to be patient and not eat the marshmallow. And they like one of the kids starts slowly like picking little pieces off the marshmallow and eating those. It's so funny to watch.
Yeah, most kids fail, I think, by the end, but it's the amount of time it takes.
Yeah,
and they've improved by like 2 minutes in 50 years.
I believe that. I think, I imagine there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think there's the way that we deal with kids has evolved a lot. And I think this like what you're talking about of your dad having everyone sit at the table, not that it's necessarily a bad thing for older kids, but I think the expectations for little kids years ago was so strict and severe, and they've shown that like this is not entirely scientific what I'm saying, but I know there's something to back it up where these kids that they're putting in schools earlier and trying to get them to sit still at a desk and not have recess and not run around and stuff, these kids are more likely to have like ADD and different things where they act out because they're bottling up all this energy that kids are supposed to have.
Well, that was actually my same reaction. And I read more in this article, and they don't totally know what the difference is, but some of the strongest theories are, one, way more kids are going to pre-K. And again, a big part of pre-K is learning about self-control and the social dynamics and that. And another, also there's theories that maybe nutrition has improved So maybe they don't need this treat.
Oh, yeah. I would believe that. I'm also, I would imagine even kids who were getting proper nutrition, like their access to cookies and marshmallows were not like common.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can have our kids could probably find a cookie. All we have to do is leave the room and they'll find a cookie. But the most interesting but not surprising statistic was the amount of time that parents spend interacting with their kids. And apparently in the 60s, parents spent an average of 36 minutes interacting directly with their kids per day. And in 1998, that doubled. It went up to like 78 minutes a day. And I feel like now we spend so much time talking to our kids and like we're building a social relationship with them, whereas I think our parents' generation and definitely the generation before that, kids were left much more on their own. That like
by interacting, you mean like directly engaging and talking to them?
Yeah, talking to them. And actually, I was watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. And he had a great point, which was he was claiming, he was with Alec Baldwin, that they were the first generation to have a childhood. And I was like, what? And then you think about it, like our grandparents, you know, had way less of a quote unquote childhood where they were very much seen and not heard. You go to work right away. Like my dad tells stories of going to visit his grandfather, my great grandfather who, you know, came up during the Great Depression. And when they went on vacation, he would just constantly be put to work, like pulling poison ivy and digging up tree trunks.
My grandfather was saying, when I was younger, like, not only was he impressed that we had, like, after-school activities and sports and stuff, but he couldn't believe how much homework we got because when he was a kid, you would go to an after-school job right after work, after school, because he was, like, helping to support his family from a young age. And he couldn't, like, the teachers would never have tried to give them homework because these kids had actual work to do.
Yeah. I mean, that same great-grandfather, he grew up the youngest of like seven or eight Irish immigrant family. Like his parents were potato farmers, you know. Actually, that's not true. But very poor Irish immigrants. And he was he put himself through Dartmouth, you know, and none of them had any education. And he figured out, and he went to Dartmouth and worked the entire time because he had to pay for all of it himself. And that ethic then, you know, affects the next generations. But our parents, the baby boomers, that post World War II era, it's like sort of the birth of what we think of as like, right, you know, summer camp. But
I think back to the marshmallow test, it's just, it is like the amount of time you're able to spend with your kid and talk to your kid and like model patience for them, because I think they're picking up on our energy and what we're trying to do. And I know when I have like a lot of work to do and I'm trying to squeeze it in while I'm in the home with our kids, which never is a thing that's able to happen. It's like they're picking up on that energy and then they get agitated and then they want my attention more. And it's like, they're just the fact that I think like our generation has had parents around who have been able to like engage with us.
Yeah.
Is
and
like,
obviously that's not everybody's experience, but, way more generationally. Like I think, for example, yesterday Bryn was having a bit of a meltdown in the car. And it usually comes when the exciting things are happening, because you guys went to Smashburger and you met me getting off the train, and that was different.
Yeah, he really can't handle.
And he was so excited, and so of course he had a meltdown in the car that involved him screaming, and he threw a toy car from the back seat into the front seat, and I ended up threatening him. I was like, "There's going to be no TV tonight," and you could see him really consider that. I've never threatened that before.
Yeah, he doesn't understand those threats, though.
No, here's the thing. He understood, because I kept, without being, I didn't want to be a jerk about it, but I kept reminding him.
I know, but it doesn't really make him behave usually. It just makes him rage harder.
Well, he kept, as he went on, of course he was still upset, but he kept going, no to not TV. No, I don't want not TV. And I was like, well, do you know why? why we're not going to do TV? And I reminded him of the things that he'd done every time he brought it up. And you could see that it was settling in.
I mean, I had an insane fight with them the other day because I tried to bribe them to come inside because, first of all, I was trying to get them out of the car. They both climbed into the trunk and then they took their...
She did too?
Well, no, she asked to get into the trunk. And because I was waiting for him to stubbornly get out, I just put her in the trunk while I let them wait it out for a minute. Then they took off their shoes in the trunk. So then
what
I got them...
the shoes being taken off?
They keep taking off their shoes everywhere. So then I took them out of the car, left the shoes because I was just trying to cut my losses.
Mm-hmm.
Get them outside. Then they want to play on the hill. They're playing on the hill. I'm trying to be patient because it's not like we really had anywhere to be besides feeding them dinner.
Yeah.
So letting them play outside for a bit. Then I can see they're going to get tired and hungry, so I'm trying to get them inside. And they obviously don't want to go inside. So I offered them ice cream. I guess this wasn't dinner because I wouldn't have offered them ice cream. But I...
Are you sure?
This was Saturday afternoon
You
left, or Sunday, or whatever. Yeah. Anyway... So anyway, I offer them ice cream. We go inside. I'm getting them ice cream. I dish it into two dishes. Bryn sees the container of ice cream that I'm dishing from and decides that he needs to have the entire container, like not a single serving, but all of it. So then he had like a rage tantrum for like 20 minutes or more and wouldn't even just eat the ice cream I was giving him because he was insisting on having all the ice cream. So then I was like, okay, you get no ice cream. So it took like all this time of him raging to finally calm down and settle for one serving of ice cream.
See, that's the difference. Is at this point now, like once I say no ice cream, there's no ice cream.
I know, but I just needed him to chill out because he was dehydrated and I needed him to calm down and drink some water.
Yeah. Well, Mavens have a couple weird freakouts in the middle of the night. And so for two nights, we gave her a cup of milk in the middle of the night, which we don't do anymore. Like, they were so addicted to milk that I made a big rule. It's like, there's no milk after you brush your teeth. But we broke that rule for two nights. And so then the next night when she was fine, then she demanded milk and now thinks it's an option. And we had to like build that thing back up. They're smart. They remember. It's like they're little people. All right, now it's time for Do You Knows What He Said? This is where we present the other with three potential real quotes from our 3.5-year-old Bryn. One of them is real, and two of them are fake. Unless you're Beth and you break the rules last time and you make two of them real. But whatever. You have one, Beth. I have one as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go first. Present to you, okay?
Okay.
So here's the context. We're coming home from daycare. We come inside, and that's usually where I get the mail, and there's a big package for us, which is it's a large flat box, probably clothes for you. By the way, you're really ordering a lot of clothes online these days.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Just acknowledging it. No judgment.
I don't have time to shop. This is everyone does this these days, but I think especially moms are just ordering everything online because when else am I going to get to buy anything?
Well, I mean, there is time and that's,
but I am trying to find time on the weekends to write.
I support
my children.
I support this. I'm just saying it's possible, but you're doing it for a good reason so that you can interact with your kids for more than 78 minutes a day. Anyway, so I pick up this box and Bryn says to me one of these three things. He says, "Oh, good. My package is here." He says, "Daddy, did you get another pizza?" He says to me, "Daddy, is that a cake or an email?" Now, keep in mind, he loves Super Wings, his favorite show ever, which is about anthropomorphic airplanes that deliver packages. So he understands the concept.
Mm-hmm. I think he said, "Oh, good, my package is here."
No, he did not. He has said that before, but he says it when he's playing by himself with his toys. But no, he said to me very earnestly, "Daddy, is that a cake or an email?" And boy, I did not know how to respond to that. Is that an email?
I wonder what, how he even made the connection to email. Well, I guess the word mail.
Yeah, what does he... Oh, that is an obvious... I couldn't fathom... What does he think an email is? I think he now knows what a text is. Because I'll text Mama. He knows it involves my phone, but I don't think... It's not like I say I'm going to email somebody.
He and Maven have started quoting Super Wings in a way that's very weird. It's like they're quoting a commercial because Maven keeps being like, "We deliver."
That show is nothing but catchphrases.
Yeah.
Every time one of those fucking Super Wings shows up, they're like, "I'm Donnie, on time every time."
Yeah, Maven kept going, "I'm Jet, on time every time."
I'm sorry, that's Jet's catchphrase. He has to say it for every goddamn kid he meets around the globe. The only benefit of that show I can see is that Bryn is learning about countries because every day, every episode, a plane goes to a different country. And then he runs into trouble and he's got to call Jimbo and get another Super Wing to help him. He's helpless, that Jet.
Maven is always like playing some weird game where she's stuck in something. Like she pretends to be stuck. And I think it's from that show because they're always
getting caught. That's every episode.
And she's like, she'll like pretend her foot is caught in something and be like, "Help, help me."
That is, this just turned into a We Knows What They're Watching segment. It's still better than anything on YouTube, so I tolerate it, but
I have to say, Peter deleted YouTube from both of our Apple TVs.
Not from both.
Yes.
Well, then they're synced, because I accidentally deleted it from one, because the remote was running low on battery. I don't know.
I don't believe it was an accident.
Listen, the thing you can rightfully accuse me of is I did not put any effort into putting it back. But I am not so stupid thinking that if I just delete this, this is going to solve a problem.
It's just a very aggressive move.
It would be if that's what it was.
Okay.
But boy, it's been a really...
I've got one.
Okay.
Did Bryn say, of these three things, I'm a dirty boy? Can you put some mud in my dump? I'm the mommy and you're the butt. Which of those three things?
They're all plausible. But I'm going to guess, and I think I understand the logic of, will you put some mud in my dump? Because I think he was playing with a dump truck.
Yeah, he was playing with a dump truck.
Yes!
And I said, can you put some mud in my dump? I love the idea that the back of a dump truck's whatever is called its dump.
Well, can you put some mud in my dump?
It sounds like a rap song.
If I drove a dump truck, I'd pull it up to the construction site and I'd be like, "Hey, fellas, you got some mud for my dump?" And then I'd be the least cool member of the construction site.
Yeah, you'd be the laughing stock of the construction team.
How would I do in that social circle?
You don't blend in well to blue collar circles. I will say.
Why? That's a bold accusation. I won't fully reject it. There's some implications to it I don't support. But I think this is more, I am awkward around most people. That's a bigger thing we need to unpack.
Let's just leave it at that for now.
This segment can deal with it properly.
Okay. And that has been...
Do you notice what he said? Put some mud in my dump.
This next segment's called What Do They Knows? This is where we check in with our children to find out what they knows.
Bryn, what do you think about our podcast?
I want to keep hearing that.
Do you like to listen to Mommy and Daddy's podcast?
I want to keep hearing it.
But do you like it?
Yes.
Why do you like it?
Because I keep do.
Because you keep do?
Yeah.
You just like hearing Mommy and Daddy, or do you think what we're saying is interesting or funny?
Funny.
You think it's funny to hear us talk?
Yeah.
Do you know that we're talking about you?
Why?
Why? Because you're funny.
I want to keep hearing it.
Okay. But you gotta talk to me first.
Okay.
I want to interview you.
Okay.
What is your favorite food? Don't touch that.
It's peanut. It's I don't know.
You're going to say peanut butter sandwich?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah, it's my favorite lunch.
It's a good lunch. All right, what's your favorite TV show?
Super Wings.
What do you like about Super Wings?
I like children ordering or ordering a package.
You like kids ordering packages and getting them delivered by anthropomorphic robot planes?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Who's your favorite member of the family?
Grandadelbert.
Grandadelbert?
No, Grand Albert.
Grand Albert. Your favorite member of our family is a cartoon airplane?
It's a propeller. It's a propeller that has a propeller here, and it's Grand Albert.
Oh, Grand Albert. Well, my question is, who's your favorite person in your family?
Only Mommy.
Only Mommy. Mommy's a good pick.
So I like only Mommy.
Oh, you don't like me?
No, or Maven.
You don't like Maven either?
No.
That's too bad.
Only Mommy.
Okay, who's your favorite daddy?
I like Regis's daddy, but not my daddy. Only Lucas's daddy.
You know, I'm your daddy, right?
There were two hands like this, and he gave him two punches.
A fist bump?
Yeah, a fist bump.
Oh, your sister is crying. Should we get her up from her nap?
Yeah.
All right. Uh-oh, she's crying.
Hey, Maven.
Hi, Maven.
I got a block.
Did you have a good nap, Maven? No, are you okay?
Awesome.
We got an itch?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's change that diaper. All right, say goodbye.
Bye.
Wow.
That was stone cold.
Wow.
Lucas's dad is the winner.
I gotta say, I thought it would hurt less the second time. No, it digs deeper. You know, you give one kid a fist bump and suddenly you're the favorite daddy.
Yeah, well, I guess you could be doing more to...
I got
to
up my dad game?
Up your dad game.
You know, this is... I'm committing a bit to being the bad guy parent. And I'm trying to soften that. But this... I feel like, again, we've talked about that we both worked as the lunchroom playground monitors after school at a school in Brooklyn for a long time. Mm-hmm. And boy, I was the most hated member of the faculty because I would follow the rules and I was not there to be people's friends. And I thought I was cool and relaxed, but boy, mean Mr. McNerdy.
It's not fun being the bad guy. You know what's funny? That reminded me when I was a teenager, I would babysit for my next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. And they're... I was leaving one day and this little girl didn't want me to leave and she was like hugging me and she said, "Beth, I wish you were my mommy." And she said it in front of her mom who was heartbroken, which is like, obviously it's just a thing kids yeah. say because they're not thinking, but it's like so hurtful.
I mean, I don't actually, wouldn't never actually take that seriously.
No,
because of course you're excited about the person that's not the one that says you can't have TV.
Right.
That's why grandparents have the sweetest gig around.
I'm sure also presented with the actual reality of being taken from their mom.
Yeah. No. This is true. But my point is my feelings aren't hurt despite what it sounds like. And I'm okay with all of this. I really hate Super Wings, though. But it's better than YouTube.
Hate anything that isn't your TV.
I didn't used to hate Super Wings. It's just now on relentlessly.
It's just weird to me because when they're watching TV, I generally just don't take it personally because it's not for me.
I make a bigger deal of it on this podcast than I do in real life. It's
no,
not like I'm
you make a big deal of it in real life.
Although I have had conversations with Bryn where I'm like, "Bryn, buddy, we've seen both seasons of this 400 times. Don't you want to watch something else?" He goes, "No." I'm like, "The same thing's going to happen." And then he goes, "Yeah," and explains it. I'm like,
"Do you
you're
think
right.
that your mom yeah. loved Ewok Adventure?"
Of course she did. It's the best movie of all time.
I don't know about that.
Don't you dare. I literally have in this drawer in my desk. Hold on. I'm holding in my hand my grandmother's VHS recorded from TV copy of the Ewok Adventure, which was later renamed Caravan of Courage. We don't have a VCR anymore, but this is one of my most prized possessions.
And your family let you watch that thousands of times over and over and over again, and it's not a good movie.
You shut your mouth. You get out of here. If you want this marriage to continue, you will never speak ill of this movie again.
Well,
it's not a great movie, but it's my favorite movie.
Really seething about letting kids watch the same things over and over again because they're not are like learning more in multiple viewings than they are watching like 10 million different things all the time.
I totally agree. I'm being just charming and hilarious with my kid commentary. It does drive me nuts, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
Visibly agitated for him. And argue with him about
the YouTube. I am genuinely against because I think it makes him irritated and he's actually not learning anything. This is good. It's just annoying. Let's compromise and say.
Similar to Super Wings, he's watching the same YouTube videos on a loop every time.
Yeah, but those are literally like count to 10. These are the colors. He knows these things. But Super Wings, he's learning about Mongolia. He's learning about Croatia.
I don't think he could tell you one thing about Mongolia or Croatia.
Well, I didn't think so either because he was just obsessed with the planes. But then they had an episode where like, we're going to Peru. And he turns to me and he goes, that's in South America. And I was like, what? And then I was like, show me. And I pulled out the globe, and he hates the globe. He's like, stop trying to teach me the globe. I'm watching Super Wings.
He's like, I parrot things I've heard. Don't you know this? You're also a mimic. I don't absorb any of the information.
Facts are great, whether you mean to know them or not.
This next segment's called Listeners Want to Knows, where we listen to some questions and comments from our listeners. We've been getting some lovely emails from a woman named Barb.
Barb!
Barb writes to us. She listens to our podcast at work, which she refers to as Cubicle Land. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. It paints a perfect picture.
She's lovely. Why don't you read her?
Okay, so Barb writes us a lot, and I'm beginning to think, Barb, that you're writing to us so that you don't have to work. And I also think that probably you're not allowed to be on Facebook at work, but nobody's going to question why you're writing an email. And I want to say we support and love this. So Barb has kids, and Barb has sent us a lot of great advice. I'm just going to read the most recent one. Subject line, Beth getting elbowed. I've created a character for you, Barb, and I'm going to read it how I picture you, because you seem very joyous. Here it is. Ready? Ha-ha! Oh, Beth, I feel your pain. My almost five-year-old is constantly elbowing me in the chesticle area, or he'll use his elbow to prop himself up, but the surface he's using is me! Oh, my God, does it hurt. I'm sure getting kicked in the nuts hurts, Peter, but lady chesticles are in much more plain view and in the general war path. I've caught myself thinking this must be how women get breast cancer. They get pummeled to smithereens by their kids, and then later on, their fun bags aren't sturdy anymore because they've been tenderized. Boom. Okay, so maybe that's not so scientific. And yes, I'm using ridiculous words because I'm emailing from work and have to watch my language. LOL. Stay safe, you two. Barb from Harrisburg. Barb, I love picturing you at work. Sending these emails.
Just not doing your work. I love the idea that her company, their email might be filtering words like chest, so she has to use the word chesticle to get around it.
Oh, I don't think that was what she's avoiding. I think she's just enjoying the word chesticles, which I've never heard before, but I will start using now. Yeah, well, any language in here that could be flag? Does that happen? Work culture where they flag certain words?
It's possible. I don't know.
The technology exists for sure.
Yeah, I don't understand what it's like to have a real job, so I can't say for sure. But they do. I know they like do things like blocking Facebook and all sorts of things. And they.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that.
I think they can read your emails a lot of time. I don't know why chesticle would be less offensive to them in this situation.
I'm pretty confident chesticle is not on the filter list. What else? Is it? Nuts? No, you can't filter nuts.
Anyway,
I will say this is a wildly unrelated story, but in college, I got caught at a dorm party where there was alcohol, and like we got busted by the RAs, and so they filtered everyone out of this room and they took our names. And I was one of the few people, like everyone tried to give the wrong name. And I went up there and I'm like real about rules. And I was like, my name is Peter McNerney. Here's my ID, which ultimately got me in less trouble than other people. But then I got called into like the disciplinary office a week later. And they're like, you know, and I was like, yes, I take full responsibility, blah, blah, blah. But then they go, we want to know, they've been doing like their investigation, and they pulled up an email from my roommate, Blake, who you know, and who was not there at the party, but she's like, can you please answer for this email? And had records of his Northwestern email. And she's like, she read this email to me, and she's like, hell of a party, friendos. Oh, that was so like killer. Does anyone have a vacuum? We need to clean up from that crazy party. Love, El Blanco. And she read this. And he like wasn't on their list. And so she's like, so Blake was at this party. But he wasn't. And so I was like, no. I had to explain that like, no.
Kids
like,
have parties all the time.
I was like, well, no. He's like just acknowledging there was a party and was like making a dumb joke. But like she was like a little...
Oh, no.
Smug. And she was like ready. She thought this was a real gotcha moment. And her just being saying, love. She looked at me and goes, love, El Blanco.
I love.
No, I actually think she said El Blanco. I was like, it's pronounced El Blanco, which was his like AOL screen name from sixth grade.
So funny.
I don't think he got in trouble because I stood up for him.
It's funny that like the nerdy kid who's trying to like clean up after the party is the one who's going to get in trouble because he like used the word party.
He literally, I think, just like got out of the dorm to hang out with his girlfriend because he's like, I don't want to be a part of this.
It's also so funny. School administrators are so funny and amazingly bad at this sort of thing where they have insight into all of the kids' emails and then they just give that information away to a kid randomly. Like, hey, we can see everything you guys are writing.
Yeah, like, why did she tell
me
that?
She should never have told you that.
Well, she's like, was your roommate Blake there? And I go, no. And she goes, well, can you explain this email? But then I did, convincingly. And she was like, oh, okay. And then I was put on some sort of probation, which meant nothing unless I did something else wrong. And I didn't. And I graduated and I'm fine. I hate breaking the rules. Anyway, Barb, if I reply to your email and I put in a bunch of red flag words, will you get in trouble? I would never do that to you, Barb, but I'm a little tempted to see. I won't. This has been Listeners Want to Know. We love you, Barb. This has been We Knows Parenting. Thanks so much for listening. If you would like to hear more from me, Peter McNerney, you can check out the really wonderful kids podcast, Story Pirates. Beth, what's up with you?
You can find me at redactors.com. You can find me on Twitter at Beth New.
And please send us in your wonderful, wonderful listener mail if you have questions or you just like to share something or if you have some would you knows. We love all of that. Send in.
Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, yes. Please rate and review just so I don't go back and read all the negative ones and feel bad about myself.
Yeah, give us some nice ones.
Yeah, tell us how cool we are. Or don't. We're not very cool. Oh, hell yeah, we are. I'm going to cut out that part. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.